One thing we can say for the architects of a green economy is that they're not afraid to think big. If their dream comes true, and it might in this era of bold change, a massive flow of energy will emanate not from the troubled Middle East, but from America's homegrown wealth of natural resources. Millions of new green technicians will be put to work installing and maintaining everything from solar rooftops to the spinning blades of surrealistic wind farms. And the nightmarish scenarios of global warming, fed by emissions from carbon fuels like oil and coal, will be postponed or averted. And the place to start, says Van Jones, Oakland-based author of The Green Collar Economy, is to stop squandering the fuel we use now.
You know, one of the big tragedies is that we are wasting so much energy right now. Even our buildings, most people think about carbon and pollution, that kind of stuff. They think about cars. Well, you don't spend that much time in cars unless you live in Los Angeles. Most people spend most of their time in buildings. And those buildings are using incredible amounts of energy wastefully. Inefficiency with regard to our buildings. 40% of the greenhouse gas problem is buildings. Is your lights are on, your iPod's charging, you're watching TV, the heat's on. If you have a coal-fired power plant making all that stuff work, and you don't have the proper insulation, and your windows aren't double-paned, and you aren't using a more recent, more efficient furnace, guess what? You are probably producing 30 to 40% too much greenhouse gases, and also your energy bill is probably 30 to 40% too high. So we could begin to make a big dent in the greenhouse gas problem just with a massive program to weatherize millions and millions of homes, blowing in clean, non-toxic insulation, replacing ill-fitting windows and doors, and all that stuff creates jobs.
The movement to protect America's environment began with Native Americans. Their traditions honored the beauty and bounty of nature as sacred. Conservationists also celebrate citizen activists like John Muir, founder of the Sierra Club, and President Theodore Roosevelt, who in the early 20th century set aside 194 million acres of unspoiled lands and parks, including the Grand Canyon. The modern environmental movement found its voice in 1962 with publication of Silent Spring, a warning about the dangers of chemical pesticides to people and to nature. Its author was Rachel Carson.
California, the one state that keeps complete and accurate records, reports from 900 to 1,000 cases of poisoning from agricultural chemicals per year. Florida has experienced so many poisonings recently that the state is now attempting to control and to curtail the use of some of the more dangerous pesticides in residential areas. I criticize modern chemical control not because it controls harmful insects, but because it controls them badly and inefficiently, and because it creates many dangerous side effects in doing so.
Man-made pollution befouling our lands and waterways ignited the ecology movement starting in the 1960s. A growing consciousness pointed to the potential catastrophe of tampering with nature's delicate balance. It led to the first Earth Day, a nationwide teach-in held in April 1970. In New York City's Union Square, Reverend Frederick Douglass Kirkpatrick teamed up with folk singer Pete Seeger, foreseeing a long struggle to protect our environment.
I don't know how long we'll be here. I want you to sing this song. I don't know